other yak babies. Sex, presidents, and sometimes books.
Welcome to Yak Babies, a new podcast on the internet sponsored by Mankey Morty's Badger Steaks, out of a hole and into your hole. Remember my personal pals, Dave.
Good morning, boys.
We, of course, have Brick.
Aloha.
Okay, and then calling from, is that old Hawaiian Brick? Oh my God. And then we have from old Ireland, old Irish Nico.
Can't also be old. He has to be young Hawaiian Brick.
He is the pineapple that's on the pizza guy here.
That's my prequel story.
Yeah, you're Cruella.
It's a Ramona Clef.
Speaking of origin stories, today's topic is a nostalgic one. Sometimes the Yak Babies like to get into our nostalgia bag and retreat into the misty-eyed days of yore and think about our past. This time we're talking about, we started talking about the Scholastic Book Fair is where this all came from. A couple episodes ago, we talked about our memories of buying books from the book fair, and it seems like a pretty treasured memory for a lot of people in our generational cohort, I would say, right? I think that everyone seems to have a positive memory of this Scholastic Book Fair. That got us thinking about sort of our youths as young readers and sort of where we acquired books and sort of positive memories of those. So we want to talk about that a little bit today. The Scholastic Book Fair, for those of you who don't maybe know or didn't have the luxury of the Scholastic Book Fair, it was amazing. It would come, I feel like it was like twice a year, maybe three times a year to the school. And it was just like a mobile bookstore. The best part, they give you a newspaper ahead of time that had all the books they're going to sell, and you would sort of mark down what you wanted to buy and make a little shopping list, and you'd go like buy books during school. It was fantastic. Like a weird little capitalist exercise, I suppose, but it was very exciting. Do you guys have particular memories of things you acquired during this Scholastic Book Fair that were memorable for you?
I remember one that I didn't acquire that affected me for a long time. So we didn't have the actual fair at our school. We had the catalogs. You would check what you wanted and then send it by mail. The teacher would send it by mail. Your parent or whomever would write a check, and then the books would come.
Interesting.
So we were robbed of the fair itself. But I remember one year all the books came, and it felt like everyone else in my class had ordered this illustrated edition of Aesop's Fables. And it's not something that when I was looking through the catalog, I gave a shit about. But then suddenly everyone had it and I didn't, and I felt super left out.
I had it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
you never knew what happened to the fox and the grapes.
Yeah, to this day I've never read an Aesop fable.
How old were you?
I have no idea. I want to say somewhere in late elementary, maybe early middle school. Probably late elementary, early like 6th or 7th grade. Feels a little late for that kind of thing.
Yeah, I was going to say that Aesop's fable seems like a
somewhere like 3rd or 4th probably. So yeah, we didn't actually have the fair, but I remember getting that catalog every year and how excited I was. All the color splashes and the little, you know, synopses and whatever. That was always super exciting.
Yeah, the little like icon of the book next to it, and like just like checking it off on the little list and sort of writing down the list in the back, things you wanted to get. Yeah, super exciting. Okay, so Brick, you had the Aesop's Illustrated Guide. What else did What did you get from the Scholastic Book Fair?
So I didn't growing up like. A bookstore wasn't in my town. One came in when I was in high school, but when I was a kid, there wasn't a bookstore in my town. So going to a bookstore was kind of a rare thing.
Yeah.
And most of the bookstores were also toy stores. Oh. So the Scholastic Book Fair was a nice sort of special thing that just showed up once in a while. I think it's kind of the source of where I learned to sort of pick books by their cover. Because you only had an hour or two tops. You know, they usually ran Scholastic Book Fair at, like, after school, at, like, parent night or whatever. Like, you stayed late. And then it'd be like, it was in school during the day, but you could only go during a certain class. You only got, like, a half hour. And you weren't walking around school with money anyway because it was, like, fourth grade. So it was sort of, you would browse during the day, and then you would go back with your parents. They timed it up with parent night or whatever. Gotcha. And then do the shopping. That's where I found the Redwall books, which ended up being my favorite because the cover looked cool. It had a badger with a suit of armor on it. The most memorable one was probably Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. That was a big deal and kind of a coveted one. I also really liked, there's always those kind of kids books that you don't really find anywhere but the Scholastic Book Fair, like Choose Your Own Adventures, now you could, but I got a bunch of, you know, Ninja Turtle kind of off-brand books that I never would have found anywhere, but they just happened to be there. It's like, oh, it's Ninja Turtles. I got to get it. I remember there was a really cool Garfield Scary Stories book. that I had from it. And I remember it because the pictures in it were great. And I used to trace them and draw them. And I just found that book like a week ago at Savers. I was going
to
show it.
What was happening to Garfield that was scary?
There's like five short scary stories. And they all involved like a monster showed up.
Hey, I remember the Garfield Halloween cartoon.
That's it. Yeah. Another thing that was a big deal for me was they had like one or two Nintendo games.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, I got Mega Man 2 at the Scholastic, through the Scholastic thing. And back then, games were really hard to find. One, you only got them on Christmas or your birthday, so you got a couple a year. But there was no release dates. There was no like video game store. It was just, you know, we had a Ben Franklin in town, so whatever three games they had on sale would be what we were able to buy. So when the catalog came ahead of time, I'm like, yo, they're going to have Mega Man 2, like... That was that, you know? So that was pretty cool. Because I looked for the Ninja Turtles game for like a year before I ended up finding it. They were hard to find back then. So that just cemented Scholastic Book Fair. It's like, yeah, this is the jam. And then you just start, that was in like, you know, first or second grade. And after that, you would just look forward to that catalog each year. I can't remember if it was yearly. It might have been every six
I think it was a couple times a year. I recall it being a couple times a year. Wait, sidebar, what's a Ben Franklin?
It was like a chain. It was probably just in New Hampshire. I don't know. It was like a
chain. No, we had them. Like, it was like a five and dime store.
Yeah, they're like craft. It's like half craft store. It's like half Michaels, half Five and Dime, maybe.
You could like randomly sometimes find shit you'd be interested in as a kid. Like suddenly they would have a box of baseball cards.
Yeah, so okay, we go. Gotcha. My mom did a lot of like crafts projects, so we would go there a lot so she could get like glue and things to make wreaths or whatever. But they had like a couple hardware aisles and then like a couple toy aisles and then up front was some electronics. But it was literally like Casio watches and one or two Nintendo games and some blank VHS tapes or whatever. They're probably out of business now. There was three or four within driving distance of my house when I was a kid, but I don't remember seeing one for a long time.
Yeah, I've never heard of that. I feel like I've been up here long enough that I would have seen or heard of Ben Franklin, but they're still around. Maybe not, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, what about you? What about your book fair experiences?
I have very vague memories. I think mostly of being psyched because I could get like a lot of books for pretty cheap, but those books were also cheaply made.
So yeah,
it was a bit of a I remember a lot of them basically being good for one read and then they would kind of fall apart. And then occasionally sometimes I would be like peeling the pages off as I finished them. It was like half a book left and then but that's I don't know, that's pretty much all the I have almost no memories of what books I actually bought. Mostly just like the experience of reading them.
Yeah, just the excitement. I mean, there definitely was like a young consumerist thrill of like, I get to buy books now. It was like a very exciting. It wasn't just the getting them because the library was there. You could get books whenever you wanted to. But there was something about like taking the books home for you, with you forever that was like doubly exciting.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. They were. I remember I had the junior novelization of The Rocketeer.
Of course.
Book fair that was pretty flimsy.
Do you still read it?
I should. When I go home to Texas, I should try and track it down and read it again and do a review for the podcast. We'll do it for Canon or Canon. I also had a... It wasn't Scary Stories. Well, Scary Stories was, I think, like the... We just saw Garfield's Scary Tales. Brick still has it. That's amazing. Is it... It's like strips or is it like a storybook?
No, it's like short stories, but it has like pretty detailed drawings.
Yeah, those are good.
I like to draw a lot as a kid.
So it's text-based?
Yeah, they're like, there's like five scary stories, but then there's pictures that match them.
Wow. Okay.
For such a shitty cartoon strip, Garfield really managed to cash in, like like few others.
I loved Garfield when I was a kid.
Yeah, oh, me too. But more than the strips, I loved Garfield and Friends, the cartoon.
This one was very scary.
Whoa, that's a cool drawing.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to imagine Garfield being scared.
Yeah, the cartoon was great.
Garfield's too, like...
It's mostly Odie was scared, and John Odie was scared, and Garfield kind of stumbled through it because he was hungry for lasagna.
That's what's scary, that Garfield is not getting his dinner, or when Monday comes around, because he hates those.
And Nerfle.
Send her to Abu Dhabi.
Oh, yeah.
So there was a Scary Stories book that was not the Scary Stories branding, but it was like a different, it was the same concept, but a different, it must have been like a cash-in version of it. I remember the cover was like a cat behind a one of those clocks that's like in a glass tube, you know, you seen those?
Yep.
It's like, I forget what I was talking about. I think those are like the pendulum, whatever. It was one of those. And it was like, yeah, it was like 13 stories that were like the same kind of like folklore reinterpretations, like definitely the story about the the guy with the hook on his hand and the people making out in the car was in there for sure. There's a snipe hunt story, which is good. And I remember liking that a lot. And I read that several times because I was definitely into the fear of it all. No Garfield, though. But this made me also think about when I was a kid and the first time I went and bought Goosebumps books at B. Dalton bookstores. And that was a very exciting. B. Dalton was near our house. And I remember going, I'd learned about Goosebumps from school. And I was like, I'm curious about this. And my mom didn't want me to read them. I think because she thought they were probably like evil or something like that. I'm not sure what her objection was exactly, but she was resistant. I finally badgered her enough to like, take me to the bookstore to get one. And seeing like the line of like, I think at that time there were like maybe 10 or 12 out already. So it's like that just line of books and they're all multicolored. And I was like, oh shit, this is going to become a thing for me. Because I like have that collector's mentality where I want to get all the iterations of the thing.
And I was like, my Goosebumps and my Pogs.
Yeah, 100%. Like, same with comics and action figures. It was the same. Like, I get all the ones that I want and, like, have them in, like, the array or whatever. And how thrilled I was to see just, like, they were available. And every time I went back, there was more. And I was like, this fucking rules. Were there treasured childhood bookstores besides this classic book fair for you? Like, places that you went to that were special? I guess Ben Franklin was one for Brick.
No, Ben Franklin wasn't special to me. But it was mostly irritating to me because they always had two shitty Nintendo games and I wanted Ninja Turtles. But there was both in my grandparents' hometown where I went a lot as well as my aunt's hometown, which I went a fair amount to. There were, and they're still there. You know those bookstores that are kind of like half bookstore, half toy store, but the toys they have are like the kind of creative types, like the wooden trains and the puzzle things. And then there was two of those. Well, one in both. So I used to, whenever I would go visit, love to go there and wouldn't always buy something just to kind of be in those places. I really, really like, there's something about the atmosphere of those kind of stores that I still really, really like. The one in my grandparents' hometown, they're dead, but my parents live near there now. And I'd still go there but at least a few times a year when I visit.
Does it cater to like kids books or just like a normal bookstore, but it also has toys?
It's a normal bookstore, but it also has toys, but it's small enough that they're selection for the adult stuff is pretty limited. The store is probably two-thirds focused towards kids and kids books and then one-third adults books. It's got a coffee shop in it now too. When I was a kid, the downstairs was the toys and the upstairs was the books. But now the downstairs is some kind of craft store. I don't know.
Dave, you said there was no bookstores when you were a kid around.
There were, but it was, you know, the 80s mall stores that I remember, the B. Daltons and Walden Books, and just like it was so cool, but you know, also like claustrophobic. In a, I don't know, kind of a comforting way. But then I can also remember the various libraries, school and town libraries where I grew up. Like I could walk into those today, if they still exist, and take you to exactly where the Hardy Boys were shelved in every one of them. And then same with Choose Your Own Adventure, like in middle school. I still remember where those books were kept.
Yeah.
Me too. My elementary, high school, and then like the town library where I grew up, I'm pretty sure I could sit down and map them pretty accurately right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember the first time I went back to my childhood library when I was in college. I hadn't been there for a long time and I was trying to get a book for a project I was doing over Thanksgiving break for some reason. And they had changed it since I had last been there. And I was deeply distraught about how I was like, well, it can't be this way. This is not where things belong. This is wrong. That library had an awesome, the entrance was like a full of display cases and it was all like weird fossils and other like Texas like stuff that was found in various digs, like little animal specimens and lizards and shit like that. It was the coolest. It felt like going to a museum. Nico, any childhood bookstores that you were fond of, B. Dalton or Walden Books or Books a Million even?
I think we mostly had Borders in Dallas when I was growing up. And we would have different borders at different intersections that looked exactly the same. And the intersection looked the same. The borders looked the same. Everything looked the same. It was like dystopian capitalist nightmare. So it wasn't really that interesting inside. But I would still go there for like an hour at a time.
Right.
I worked at a Books a Million.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. What's our experience working in bookstores? Maybe that's an episode. Or with books. Or
I always wanted to.
The only one who did.
But I never was.
Nico did.
Accepted. Yep. Nico did, right.
Yeah.
At Trident, at least, right? If not other places.
Yep.
You applied to some, but never.
I played the Half Price Books, which is also like a, and still is like my favorite local bookstore. It's like, I mean, it's a chain, but like it's the one near my house is like my favorite. And the one in Dallas is like their anchor store. It's like the headquarters. It's
enormous. Huge.
It's amazing. But there was, I played to Half Price Books, I think every summer, probably through high school and I think even college, I would apply when I got back to town. And there was this, I remember there was a person who, a woman who worked there who had these like striking, like beautiful blue eyes. And I was like, maybe I should apply to work with her and I could like talk to her. We could go out and be getting married. Like it was like, I like just like was like so in love with this woman.
I could give her a cake.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember I asked an application from her and she gave it to me. And I was like, do you like working here? She was like, yeah. And I was like, okay, cool. And that was, I think that was the only time I ever really spoke to her in a meaningful way.
And she was like, okay, and immediately writes a big red X on your application when you leave.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like, do not hire this freak. But yeah, I never made it to the bookstore. Did any of the rest of you ever work at bookstores? I never worked any, I guess the movie theater was the one place I worked at that I was like, that's what I enjoyed doing and also worked at. But like I never, like comic bookstores, never.
I never worked retail at all.
Really.
But bookstore has to be like the easiest retail possible because it's just like, it's like, yep, we either have the book or we don't. We can order it. That's it. There's no like, it's not like a restaurant where there's, I feel like you're just endlessly fighting customers.
Yeah.
Where you worked was both.
Yeah. And the food sucked. The food part sucked. We had to do like the takeout food. And that was the worst part of the job. But for some reason, I didn't have to work the weekends when they were busy. So it was pretty great schedule.
Books A Million always seemed like a chaos store, Dave. It always felt like, compared to like Walden Books, Booksman felt like it was like just a pile of books around. It was like, I don't know, figure it out. There's books here.
The one I worked at was pretty orderly. But yeah, it was, I mean, it wasn't the greatest experience. When they hired me, it wasn't to handle anything related to books. I was like the magazine guy because the magazine person before me had left. So like that was my, we would get just hundreds of like insane niche magazines. And I was, you know, so I would have to like rotate them and it was so goddamn boring. I think I did it just well enough to keep the job, but badly enough that they moved me to actually, you know, behind the desk or helping people find books. And that was more fulfilling.
Yeah.
This is not our magazine guy.
We had a bunch of magazines too. And we would, that was the closest we would get to pissing somebody off was when there would be people who would come in for their one magazine every month, and it would be like a $40 like art magazine. Why they didn't just get a subscription, I don't know, but they would come in every month, and then occasionally somebody else would buy it because we would only get one because that was the only guy who bought it. We would just get one and then he would buy it, and occasionally somebody else would buy it, and then he would get pissed off.
Yeah. I mean, I remember we stocked like six different, if not even more, like monthly magazines devoted to sailing. Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
How many of these are necessary?
Yeah. How many, like, haven't we figured that out by now? We figured out sailing.
There's different
kinds. Yeah, exactly.
Like
yeah.
200 years ago.
You just want, yeah. I mean, I used to get so many ski magazines and just the pictures. Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, this was like 2005. So, you know, these days, I doubt there are still that many magazines in any, like sailing magazines in any Books A Million bookstore, but
there's actually like a lot of magazines when you go to Barnes and Nobles or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like the sections are as big, but now they're like glossed up $15. Right. Like they're much more like kind of positioned towards premium.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I think they make more money on magazines than books.
Really,
like the margin is higher.
Probably.
Yeah.
They seem like almost like coffee table adjacent, where it's like something you sort of read, but also kind of have out to display because it's like nice and it was expensive. So you better read it more than once.
Yeah. Mm. And those hobby magazines, I feel like it's almost just a vicarious like experience. Like if you have a sailboat, can't really go sailing every day, but you can like get a shitload of magazines and then you can read it, you know, and feel like you're sailing.
In your bathtub.
Maybe that's something to do.
Yeah.
Well, listeners, tell us what's going on with you and your bookstore memories from when you were young. Favorite bookstores, classic book fair memories, things you bought. Maybe you have an old newspaper catalog. If you do, show it to us. Take a picture and show us on Twitter at YakBabies and email us, YakBabiesPodcast@gmail.com with all those thoughts. We'd love to hear them. Also, check us out on Patreon. Patreon.com/YakBabies is where you can find our bonus secret podcast for $1 a month. That's all we're asking. You can get access to all these bonus features. There's games, there's Broto Bros, there's little clips of audio from this episode, for instance, that will be, I'm sure, housed there that are just not in the main feed. They're fun. It's worth checking out for sure. There's a whole new podcast called Snack Babies happening there, which is taking the world by storm. So check that out too. And we have a merch as well, tinyurl.com/yakbabiesmerch, or just yakbabies. It's just yakbabies.
It's just yakbabies.
Yeah. Has our merch. There's t-shirts and mugs and posters and all great designs by Brick. They're really funny and cool. So check them out. Until then, Yak Babies, yakking off.
The Yak Babies would like to thank all their loyal listeners, and especially their patrons, both past and present, including Michael, Bonnie, Sebastian, David, Roger, Kathleen, Bailey, Andrew, and William Howard Taft.